Sarajevo is a municipality, and when the municipality has almost several towns or cities connected together. And so local organizations, they have boards. I met with one of them. They've developed some issues needed to solve. They had that meeting this Sunday, going to another city. Again, the local issues. Wherever you have people, you have issues. And ideas are fine, but when people interject their own fears and phobias and ego sometimes, then you have to go in and resolve the situation. Tonight I have a meeting of the presidency, as they call it, the board that oversees the party. And I have meetings, I have TV appearance, one tomorrow in the afternoon. This is going to be nice, prime time, sort of right after work. And one is the CNN affiliate.
Yay.
And I think it's actually, and it's here in Bosnia, it's owned, I think, by CNN and the CNN group. And it's one of those that, it's really cool. They have, and one in Zagreb in Croatia, and one in Belgrade, Serbia, and one in Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina. And often they have shows and programs that invite experts from all three sides in one area. The CNN style, where you have three people on the picture of the video, and then the commentator is working, talking to them. I don't know what this show about. It could be besides me. Is it me? Is it somebody else? Is it just part of the show? Me, whatever. But it's a good opportunity. So I have planned in about the following week and a half visits with three cities to resolve three different kinds of issues. And then we are starting to plan the strategy for the local elections, where we have to find people who will run in those local elections. I already had a meeting of the political council, advisory council, and that we started discussing the best approach to meet with various local committees and help them develop their own local strategies for local elections. We also have started development of the whatever we, human resources part of the organization. We have the central committee that will develop local committees at the regional and local city levels, who will help us find the right candidates to be our candidates in these elections. We also starting the a new version of the Academy, Platform Academy, that is here to help people develop a sense or learn responsibility of somebody who is a candidate for a position for to be in the national parliament or the entity parliament or the cantonal level parliament or the city councils or to be mayors, for them to understand the issues they have to deal with, developing programs for them to know how to communicate with the public, communicate with the media. We are developing a program that will help everybody within the platform to understand who we are, what our positions are, what the main issues are. What is interesting is that even though I remember starting the college at UNC Charlotte, and similar issues, you have to define the identity, you identify the programs, you identify the future investments. Still, the situation is a little bit different, because then the university was in existence, computer science was in existence, and a lot of things were in place that you have to build from in advance. Here it is completely from scratch, as if you're building a new university. And you want that university to be unlike any other. And so you have to define the culture of the place. Then you want to find the right people to implement that culture. Then you want to enable them to be able to convey that culture to anybody else. Then to find the students and the faculty, and to find the finances for it, and find a marketing niche and how you present all that. And it is so interesting. But and in addition, just like the university, this party, because it is a political party and will participate in a political process, it will affect all and every segment of life of the society, has the potential for it, knowing it is not the university, it is not the only university, there are many universities, but we are trying to find your place as well as your message and the right audience for it.
Interesting, very interesting. And in turn, you say you've been dealing with some issues here and there. I mean, are these issues that are new for you, or ones that you anticipated and they just happen to be coming up now as you get into this process of the local elections coming up?
I cannot say that I have anticipated all the issues that we are dealing with or will be dealing with in the future. I had a sense of the directions we might need to go in and type of issues to deal with globally. You know that you will have to find the people to run. You know I have to find the money. You know you have to have the ideology. You know you have to find the marketing strategy. But then when that gets materialized in a specific environment with a specific political situation with specific people, you often come across a situation where there are things you didn't anticipate and you have to modify and change things in order to address the issue completely. For example, I never anticipated, even I am from Bosnia and I am one of Bosnians, I did not anticipate the level of negative sentiment toward anything in life. Didn't anticipate this corrosion of the sense of system of values that happened in the last 25, possibly 30 years. Didn't anticipate the degree of fear that people might have to express who they are, because their livelihood depends on party, on the party line. They have to support certain things, even they don't agree with it, but they have to keep their political injustice. So I did not anticipate that those issues will come in such a force and will modify and change things we work on and the approach. For example, every time you find a person, you think, oh, it's a perfect person for this job, for this position, for this role within the government. I suddenly hear 10 different bad things about that person. Now, whether they are, is it truthful or not, I don't know. You have to verify and check, because it could be rumor, could be hearsay, it could be a malicious effort to badmouth somebody just because they want that position. And you are constantly finding yourself at a tactical level as opposed to being at the strategic level, defining where you need to go. And that is why we made a decision, as I mentioned already, to have the vice president be more engaged in the day-to-day operations, focus internally, whereas I can then focus externally. And then what is also happening is that as I read the newspapers, and I read them today, read today, that there was these alliances, political, almost unholy alliances are being established from people who are from parties that are political enemies, arch rivals, and then suddenly they are friends. They want to go to elections together because they think they can or they will have a better chance of winning elections at some level, in some canton. And so it is a constantly ground-shifting environment. It's never, things never are as they seem to be. And you know that tomorrow will be even more different. And the paper today, the article today was about a rumor about the potential alliance, and when they talk to those people, they don't even know that the rumor existed. And, I mean, it goes on and on forever.
Well, this, and I don't want to be too presumptuous, but I know we've talked about this before, knowing you, your research with complex systems and those types of things. I know these are challenges, but they're challenges that I think perhaps you thrive on a little bit, because when you see them, that's part of what you do, is taking a complex issue and making sense out of it. Yeah. And you're smiling. So, I mean, it just, explain that a little bit, because I see your mind, it's challenges, but you don't mind these challenges because you like figuring this stuff out too.
Oh, very true. It is. If I have any advantages, I think this is the one that I like, not alike, but perhaps I feel comfortable in situations that are fluid, that are fuzzy, that are shifting, that are dynamic, where careful planning is not as useful as the ability to understand the fundamental principles that those tectonic plates that are in place and their movement to understand what's going to happen in the political sense. And so you deal with, hopefully, with the situation at the level of causes as opposed to the level of symptoms. And so I'm okay with those. Me just being such a person who is comfortable with a fluid situation that sometimes requires spontaneous answers, and being a person who studied complex systems and looking for those fundamental principles helped me navigate through these days and these situations and these circumstances. At the same time, you have to be the leader and make everybody else comfortable and say, yeah, I know it seems scary, but don't worry about it, we'll be just fine. Here's why. Please pay attention to A as opposed to B. And this is really an equivalent to a conversation or analogous to a situation that I had with somebody a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago in Sarajevo, where I asked the person, what is the political situation in Bosnia? Before I decided to run for a political office, and I asked the person, so what's the political situation in Bosnia? And he said, well, you know, it's It's horrible. But when you turn off TV, it's perfect. It's wonderful. When you don't listen to the news, everything is just fine. And so there are so many. The moral of that story is that there are so many things here that are being said or done for political purposes, for political gain, temporary political gain, that if you react to everything they say or do or appear to be doing, or let's just stay at the level of saying, and if you pay attention to everything they say, they being politicians who are in power or are trying to be in power, you go crazy. You think there's war tomorrow, it's imminent, it's done, everybody hates each other, there's no hope for the future. Then you turn off that TV, or at least go and watch some soap opera or something. You turn off the TV, you go among the people, you go down in the street, and it's life as normal. People are buying, selling things, they're walking the streets, they go to theater, they buy gifts to each other, they celebrate holidays, they celebrate, they go to school, they go to doctor, and they talk to people of all nationalities and different ethnic groups. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Well, in terms of, and we have chatted about this some, but as we are in 2020 now, local elections coming up in the fall, have you, obviously, there are certain towns, municipalities that it's not worth your effort to try to figure out who should be the mayor or whatever, but have you narrowed down the list somewhat now in terms of the number of towns where you would be seeking mayorships and those types of things?
I wish we were that advanced. We've gone a little bit the other way around. We are establishing these human resource committees at every level that will work with the local leadership to think through about those issues. Where is it that we have a chance? Where do we have candidates? What kind of candidates? Where do we have a chance? And I think we will be at that level probably in a couple of months. An important decision we made is something that one should consider common sense, but it's not often in place here. And that is that members of these human resource teams, commissions, are not eligible to be candidates for positions themselves. Meaning they are tasked with finding the political talent to run for an office, not to be the political talent to run for an office. You would think, you would say, well, that's common sense, right? Otherwise, it would become a conflict of interest. You cannot pretend to be finding the best candidate for a parliament when you want to be that person. But we are the only party that with that rule in place. Everybody else is doing it the normal, the regular thing. And that causes a lot of issues. And that is why human resource committees are so powerful in other parties, because they say who make it, who makes it, who doesn't. And of course, they find the best positions for themselves, and then they try to figure out who would be proper candidates for other positions. And then, basically, people think, oh, you have to be nice to those people. They're giving you favor by giving you a chance. They're doing you a favor by giving you a chance to be a candidate on a list for some position within the government structures. So interesting.
Any plans here in the near future for travel to engage diaspora in the neighboring countries, those types of things?
I do have. I'm gonna. The first, my next trip will be actually to the United States, back to work. From the United States, I will travel just for a couple of days to Switzerland to give actually a talk at the university and a visit, I believe, at Geneva, and will then meet with local people, local community. In March, I'm scheduled to go to, of course, Bosnia, but Austria and Switzerland. I'm sorry, Austria and Germany. Austria and Germany. The Germany would be two cities, Stuttgart and Munich, and Austria will be in Vienna and possibly another city, and it's going to be that is going to be a celebration and big event where I'll be one of the speakers, but also they are trying to organize a lecture at the University of Vienna that's going to be related to complex systems and big data and artificial intelligence and so on. So from as far as I can tell, so those are the trips, the United States and Switzerland, Austria, and Germany.
And just one other one, with the we talk about this sometimes, with the current events, particularly of the last week, the saber rattling in the Mideast, Iran, U.S., potential Russian involvement, those types of, are these still things that are somewhat off the radar of the people in Bosnia and Herzegovina, or is there some concern, and I guess how do you address what's going on?
Right. The current situation, the escalation of hostilities between the United States and Iran are clearly watched with a great level of interest, the great degree of interest in Bosnia-Herzegovina and the whole region. Don't know that it was looked at it from the perspective of what does it mean for us, but what does it mean for the peace in the world? And then by an extension, what does it do to the United States position on Bosnia and Herzegovina in the context? Yes. So every time, because it's United States, Russia, Germany, UK, Turkey, even Iran, have some level of influence in Bosnia-Herzegovina. People are watching carefully what these superpowers or regional players or ideological centers in the world are doing, because sooner or later it affects what happens on the ground in every corner of the world, including Bosnia and Herzegovina. What makes it harder in Bosnia and Herzegovina is our tendency to formulate and give rise to conspiracy theories. And in that context, it is almost funny to listen to what people say. And it's never anything that we are responsible for. It's our fault that we cannot do anything about it. It's always, the price of whatever in Bosnia-Herzegovina went up because what the United States did something 2 months ago, what Russia is doing now, or our divisions are because of something that somebody else cooked up outside. We went to war because for somebody else, they wanted us to go to war. And while there is clearly a room for belief that many things happen outside of the knowledge of or the capabilities to react properly by the people inside, and we are part of the international world, and yes, countries who have interest in controlling regions of the world, either politically or economically or in other ways, have done sometimes in the past things to influence very directly events on the ground. When you look for that as the reason for everything that happens, clearly overstates the even possibility of anybody to cook up all the reasons for everything that happens the wrong way in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And it's almost as if people are looking for an excuse for their own behavior, and it's easier to find it elsewhere rather than in themselves.